Well, did you smile at somebody this morning? If you didn't, come on, turn over and smile at somebody. Golly. You know, turn that frown into a smile and welcome somebody. Hey, look, we've got some t-shirts. This is a Love Haiti t-shirt. Did you know that we have an orphanage that we and another church support? 42 children, three times a day. Send them to school, clothe them, and we have a team going down in June. You can pick up one of these shirts for only $10. All the proceeds go directly to Destiny Village. And it's a way of you being able to share with your friends and neighbors, play, you know, out playing in the park or whatever, that you love Haiti and why. And God loves Haiti. So you can pick one up. Jeremiah Burris, my grandson, has put together he incorporated Love Haiti Incorporated. He actually has a 501c3 organization that he is raising funds for. He had a 3K or 5K or whatever it was walk not long ago. It's an amazing thing what God's doing. So there's a t-shirt. I would give it away, but we need the $10. I met some great people this morning. T and I were here a little bit early, and we got a chance to do that. And that was a great feeling to be able to come together and connect. And of course, I already mentioned Lynette and met Edna here a little bit earlier and others that are here for the first time. Look, don't feel like you're an outsider, because every one of us had a first time, right? And this is a place where you can grow, you can get planted, and not only grow, but you can bloom and bear much fruit. Amen? So as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, be a part of what God's doing. I do apologize for that pole if this is your first time and you're wondering, why is a pole right in the middle of the auditorium? Well, this isn't really an auditorium. This is a granite warehouse that we converted into an auditorium. So you'll have to look at the screen behind it. You know, when I begin to think about all the possibilities in life, I get so excited. When I know that God is able to restore and renew and redo, that He's got my future in His hand, that I don't have to be concerned about anything. This week, T and I have been going through some real challenges personally, and we think, God, I want to ask that question, why? Have you ever wondered why? And we heard last week, don't do that, that means chaos. We've got enough chaos as it is, trusting in the Lord that God is going to work it out for our good. But sometimes people just act weird around you and are just downright mean, unprofessional, they're rude, they're uncaring. And you think, God, why am I experiencing such treatment? And the Lord says, listen, I'm allowing you to experience in a little dose what I have to deal with the whole world. That's how they treat me. But listen, I love them anyway. Now I want you to love them. And I said, okay, that's enough. I am not going to love those people. Unless they love me, I'm not loving them. You know, God loves people. And I want to share with you part two of a message I shared a couple weeks ago out of Leviticus chapter 21. Because in Leviticus chapter 21, there is some descriptions of people that were not permitted to come into the presence of God. Aren't you glad we're not under the law anymore? Whew, we're under grace. Anybody need any grace in here this morning? You know, the religious elite bother me. You know, they always want to put rules and regulations on you. They want to tell you what you're not doing and what you need to do more of, and never point to the cross and say it's all sufficient. It's like we can earn something from God. That's why I love grace and I love the mercy of God, because it's new every morning. I like that scripture in Psalm 30 that says joy comes in the morning. I was just texting pastors that I know this morning early, and I said, have a super Sunday. Have a super Sunday. They kept responding back, some of them, you do too, and God bless you and thank you. And one pastor said, pray for me. This is the darkest moment of my entire life in ministry. Now, I didn't know that when I sent that little text. But when he came back and said, pray for me, this is my darkest moment in my history and ministry, I just text back to him and said, weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And you and I, even in the midst of wiping our own tears or feeling rejected or hurt by people, we've got to believe that God's word is true. Amen? That God can send laughter back into our life and joy can come back into our life. Because the Bible said joy is the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if you get, you let the devil steal your joy or people steal your joy, you know what's going to happen? You're going to fall over backwards. You're going to get weak. But those that will allow the joy of the Lord to remain are going to be strong in Him. And we're going to be overcomers, right? Come on, lift your hand up and say, I'm an overcomer. Let me say this also. God will move mountains and multitudes just for you. Mountains are no big deal just because they're in front of you. What's a mountain to God? They're like a little pimple. They're nothing. What about multitudes? You know, the multitudes tried to stone Jesus. What did he do? Walked on by. I know, I don't sing very well, but that's what he did. He just said, And they didn't even know they were letting him through. Mountains and multitudes don't bother God. How about this, man? I mean, you know, Israel needed a little more daylight to beat up the enemy. So God said, okay, sun, stand still. God loves you enough that he will make the sun stand still, move mountains on your behalf, manipulate people and they don't even know they're being moved on by God just to bring a blessing to you. That's because he has a great plan for your life. And you got to stop listening to your past or your failures or other people who have told you you're not worth it. Come on, look at somebody and say, you're worth it. George Mueller. Here's a great quote from George Mueller. He said this, trials, obstacles, difficulties, and sometime defeats are the very food of faith. For those of us that are of faith, we need to understand, we count it all joy when we encounter various trials and persecutions, struggles. It's the food of faith. It's the food of champions. Because I know that it's only a momentary thing. That God is for me, this thing can't be against me. And I know that I'm about to go through this and be stronger and better on the other side. Look, if you can't tell yourself that, you might as well quit right now. Because there's always going to be something trying to keep you from getting where God said you're going to go. But you got to get up in the morning and shake yourself sometime. Wipe the sleep out of your eyes and look right square in the face of the devil and say, devil, I just got to let you know something. That my God is for me and you can't be against me. So get behind me. The Bible talks about in Leviticus chapter 21, 16 to 23, various individuals that were not permitted to come into the presence of God. You know, the devil likes to use these kinds of things in the New Testament to say you're disqualified, that God could never use you. You're a former this and a former that. Well, I got good news for you. Don't look down the row, but you're sitting with somebody that was a former something. Don't look at him. Well, we're all formers. Don't look at some of you looking. Don't look at them. Some of us aren't even formers. We're currents. Don't look at them. But it's all right. Because God's got a plan and you're coming out of where you're currently in, right? Yeah, I believe that with all my heart. See, mountains or multitudes never intimidate God. Even time can't overcome God's plans. I've got to believe that. Because time has a way of wearing you thin. Time has a way of convincing you that it's not going to happen. But don't you give up. If God said it, it's coming to pass. God is not a liar, right? He is going to do what he said he will do. Now, I want you to look at Joshua 10. Verse 13. Listen to this scripture. This is powerful. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. You may be facing a situation this morning that says it's impossible. Let me correct you. Nothing is impossible with God. And if God has to change the orbits of the solar system, he's going to do it in order for you to get your victory. So don't you give up. That's exactly what Joshua said. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down about the whole day. Look at Jeremiah 32:17. See, when you're in the middle of the battle, you got to remind yourself of truth. Because circumstances, facts are always so imposing and so strong that if you don't counter it, have you ever listened to a debate? When the one individual or the prosecuting attorney gives their position, you're thinking, man, they're guilty. Until the defense attorney takes their place and they give their side of the story. Now you're going, well, they're not guilty. Some of us have got to quit listening to the prosecuting attorney, the devil, and let Jesus, our advocate, step in and tell us what the truth is so that we know that we are not guilty because of the blood of Christ. Jeremiah 32:17, and my Lord God, come on, read it with me. My Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Now, how many believe that more than just read it? Come on, you got to believe that. There is nothing too hard for God. Psalm 51 and verse 5 says this, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. But know this, that even in that start where everything was against us, listen, you didn't have to sin one time. You didn't have to say something wrong, do something wrong. You didn't have to steal the cookie out of the jar. You didn't have to lie to your mother or father. You were born. I was born in iniquity. We were already condemned the moment we broke our mother's womb. But isn't it good news to know that when we came into this world, that sin no longer has to have dominion over us? That Jesus Christ from the foundation of the world was slain for you and for me. And that means if you put your trust and your confidence in Him, the blood will cover the multitude of sin. And it doesn't matter how you started, it matters how you finish. Look over somebody and say, I plan on finishing strong. I plan on finishing strong. Hallelujah. Because I know that God is for me. I know that God loves me, and I know that God has a great plan for me. And I don't want to be, you know, I don't want you to think I'm arrogant here this morning, but I'm just confident. I'm just confident. You know what? I'm getting my joy back when I lost my joy. I'm getting my peace back, right? I'm getting everything that God had planned for me, and I'm not going to live one more day without it. People who are blind, Leviticus 21, says you can't come into the kingdom of God. But let me tell you something. Blindness, you and I don't have to remain blind. God can open our eyes spiritually and see truth. Some of us here this morning need to see how valuable you really are, because your eyes have been blinded by the lies of those around you. That's not how God sees you. He doesn't see you insignificant. He doesn't see you as a second-class citizen. He doesn't see you as someone who is no worth at all. That is a lie from the pits of hell. God sees you as more than a conqueror. Here's the key. You got to start seeing yourself like that. Don't let others define you. And that's what's happening. This generation is trying to define and redefine a new generation. They're trying to redefine marriage. Can I go on record, please? Let me tell you what marriage is according to the Bible. The Bible says it's between one man and one woman. I have respect for our president, but Mr. President, you are wrong. Don't let a generation redefine you. Don't let your parents redefine you. Don't let some person who abused you redefine you. Don't let that person who walked out on you redefine you. Don't walk through life blind. See the truth that you are valuable in the sight of God. People who are lame, the scripture says in Leviticus 21. Those that sit by the pool and play the blame game. Someone else's fault for where I'm at. Take ownership and say, look, I might be in this situation, But I know that it didn't catch God off by surprise. I'm not going to worry about the fact that I went through this or my parents did this or this situation helped me, came to me. I'm going to believe that my help is in the name of the Lord. And I'm going to get up and I'm going to go back into the house of God and I'm going to be praising and leaping and worshiping the Lord. Scripture says in Leviticus 21, people that have broken their feet, always going back to what you've been delivered from. Listen, that's how the devil wants. He wants to try to tempt you to go back to what the devil, from what the devil had been defeated. God's already brought you out. Don't go back. You don't have to go back. He'll begin to convince you. Some of us sitting here right now thinking, well, you'd be better off if you were back in the world or back drinking again or back over there with this illicit relationship. Or you'd be better off if you went back to that lifestyle. That's not true. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You need to realize that God has a plan for your life. Look over at somebody and just tap them gently and say, you're serving a big God this morning. Come on, you're serving a big God this morning. How many see him as a big God? You better see him as a big God that can do big things, in big people's lives. I don't know. Just trying to help us see God a little bit bigger. The scripture says broken hands. People with a broken hand couldn't get into the presence of the Lord. Listen to me. The devil wants to keep you out, and God all the time is trying to bring you in. He says that those that almost gave up, that lost their grip. Sometimes we lose our grip in life because we can't hold on anymore. That's when we need somebody else to lift us up. That's why Galatians is so important. Bearing one another's burdens. Friends, sometimes in my life, I just need a little bit of help. It's not like I'm giving up. It's not like I'm quitting. I just need somebody to say I can do it. Somebody to cheer me on. Somebody to give me a little push. Somebody to lift up that bar. Be a spotter in my life. And sometimes when you're all alone, that's when the devil likes to speak to you and tell you that you're not going to make it. That's why you can't forsake the assembling of yourselves even as the day draws near. It is important that you're with a family that believe in you, love you, accept you, and will cheer you on. Even when you fall, even when you mess up, even when you fall back, God said, that's all right. Get back up again and keep on moving. Come on, keep on moving. Come on, shout it with me. Keep on moving. Well, I tell you, the religious world, you know what they like to do? They like to see you laying on the side of the Jericho Road. They see you there and they go, see, look what they did, see? And they walk on by. But how many know the Samaritan won't walk on by? How many know Jesus will not walk on by? He won't walk on by and he won't walk out on you either. I think it's time we start finding a place of a community of faith where people don't walk by or walk out on you when you're going through a little bit of trouble or you've had a fall or you've made a mistake or somehow there's been a problem in your life. Listen, that's when I need you the most. Don't kick me out. Bring me in. Don't push me back. Pull me in. Don't push me out. Come on, draw me back. The house of God has become a place where people can't make any errors, can't make any mistakes, can't mess up. Because if you do, everybody will know about it. And we'll all be pointing at you and saying, there's the girl, there's the man. Well, look, one finger pointing at me, four others pointing right back at you, honey. I want to talk a little bit about damaged goods. I was a man that would be labeled damaged goods. You ever see the cartons that got a busted corner on it? They put that on the sale table and the retail floor. You can get a better price for it. Sometimes, you know, my wife, she's a sharp shopper. She'll go in and she'll see a scratch on something. They'll say, may I see the manager, please? And I know what she's going to do. She's gonna talk to him and say, now, were you going to discount this because it's got a scratch on it? The manager's like, come on, lady, you can't only see that scratch. Sometimes we come in damaged, and everybody in this world wants to put a lower price tag on our life. God said, you know what, you're worth a million, but because you got a scar, you got something that's not functioning right, you got a scratch, now the whole world wants to mark down your value. Let me tell you something, God will never mark down your value. You're not damaged to the place where he can't repair you, put you back on the floor and get top dollar for you. God's going to get top dollar for you because that's what he does. He makes all things new, right? Old things are passing away. Behold what? All things are new are coming. So I can hardly wait till what God's going to do for me the rest of this day. I got a feeling there's some new stuff coming. I haven't even got home yet to check my mail from yesterday. There could be some new things in the mailbox. I haven't even checked my voicemail or my text messages. I just gave Mark my phone. As I'm sitting up here preaching, I could have gotten a message that it was a powerful new thing that God wants to add to my life. I'm looking for new things all the time. Stop getting your eyes, keeping your eyes fixed on the damaged part. And start lifting up your eyes and seeing the restored part. Because God is a restorer. Why don't you with me right now take about 10 seconds and praise him for restoring your life. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 There's a movie out everybody's probably seen, Hunchback of Notre Dame. Have you ever seen that movie? I don't know exactly what his problem was. All I know is he was like that. You know, the Bible actually talks about hunchbacks in Leviticus 21. And he said that hunchbacks couldn't come into the presence of God. It's not so much they were prohibited, but listen to me. In the new covenant under the grace of God, it's the devil that wants to weigh you down with the burdens of life, so that you feel disqualified from coming into the presence of God. Sometimes people want to add to those burdens. You know, I don't know about well-meaning Christians, but some Christians are not that well-meaning. When I needed a helping hand, they're adding to my burden. When I need somebody to encourage me, they're criticizing me just a little bit further. I'm thinking, can I get any help here? You know, I remember I used to get some help with my drinking buddies. I know they didn't believe it, but they would encourage me. Sometimes you can get more help from people that don't even name Christ than people who say they're Christians. But this whole thing about hunchbacks, he said the descendants of Aaron and these that have a hunchback couldn't come into the presence of God. Some of us who are constantly bent over from the weight of circumstances. You know, there was a woman that used to be bent over in Luke chapter 13. I think Bishop T.D. Jakes probably preached it the best. But there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. How many years? 18, I think it was. And she was bent over and could no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, say that with me. But when Jesus saw her, say that one more time. But when Jesus saw her. Why is that important? Why am I asking you to say that, emphasize that? Because you may have come in here bent over, but when Jesus sees you, something changes. And if his eye is on a sparrow, come on somebody, I know his eye is on you. And Jesus is watching you in your hunched over posture. And when Jesus saw her, he called her. He called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Listen, in this place this morning, hear the call of Christ. Hear the voice of Jesus who's saying, "Come here." He sees the weight and the burden that you're carrying. He knows what you've gone through and what you've endured. You know, there's a lot of people that don't even know. Maybe your spouse doesn't even know the depth of what you've been carrying. Your family, your closest friends, but he does. And he sees you. And because he sees you, he's calling you. And when you go to him this morning, he's going to loose you from that burden. Because he is the burden bearer. Hallelujah. Amen. He is the burden bearer. Psalm 24 and verse 7 says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors. Why? And the King of glory. Come on, say it with me again. And the King of glory shall come in. He wants to come in to your way down, burdened life. And he wants to lift it off of you and give you liberty and give you freedom. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so excited about this message. I can't hardly stand it. We got to tell everybody. We got to tell everybody in Garfield Heights. We got to tell everybody in Independence. We got to tell everybody in Valley View. Come on, you know all these communities around here. Why wouldn't we let people know that if they're bent over, Jesus sees you. If they're bent over, Jesus is calling you. If they're bent over, you can be lifted from that burden. This is a great message that you and I have been given. We got to tell the whole world that Jesus carries all my burdens. Hallelujah. Leviticus 21 and verse 20. This is an interesting thing. It says those that have been dwarfed couldn't come into the presence of God. You know, I was praying about that. I said, God, that seems so unkind and so unfair that you would prevent somebody. Listen, I believe spiritually he's not talking about short people. He's not talking about those that would be considered dwarfs. He's talking about spiritually speaking. I want you to get your mind around this. I want you to hear me for a minute, because small thinking people can't make advances. The devil wants you to continue to think small. God wants you to think big. You and I can't get locked into tiny times. We got to start embracing big times. We need to know that the plan God has for us is a big plan, not a tiny plan. There's nothing about midget management in the Bible. He said to go therefore into all the world. God didn't limit us. He said the whole world is your place of ministry. So he's wanting us to change our mentality. If we want to come into the glorious presence of God, we need to change our thinking. You may feel the walls all around you this morning are starting to close in on you. Have you ever felt that before? Let me tell you what that is. That's just God telling you that the place you've been in is just too small for you. Instead of feeling like you're being punished by God, you need to start thinking in terms that I'm about to be promoted by God. He's seeing that where I've been, I've outgrown. He's seeing that where I've lived is now a containment. It's not encouraging me to be productive. How many remember Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs? I got a Holy Ghost revelation on that. You don't want to be sneezy. You know why you don't want to be sneezy? Because sneezy was allergic to the Word of God. Anytime the Word's preached, it's, ah, shoot. You don't want to be sleepy. I'm looking to see if I find anybody snoozing. You don't want to be sleepy. In other words, apathetical or indifferent to the move of God in your generation. Those are the people that can't come into the fullness of God. I refuse to be allergic to the Word. And I'm not falling asleep on the Holy Ghost. And how about dopey? Biblical illiteracy. I'm going to know the Word of God. I'm going to give myself to the Word of God. I'm going to start growing myself in the Word of God. And how about Doc? You remember Doc? Doc was that person that thought he knew it all and couldn't be taught anything. I don't want to be a person that can't be taught. I don't care if I'm a pastor 34 years. I can be taught. I can be taught by the one that just got saved. I can be taught by the one that's got his doctorate in ministry and doctorate of divinity. I can be taught by a woman and I can be taught by a man. Did I say a woman? Oh, Lord. Yes, I did. I can be taught by a woman. Now, you ladies, go easy on your husbands. I seen you like that. I like this one, Happy. How many remember Happy? He was one of the little dwarfs. Let me tell you something. Never be happy with the way things are, but always reach forth to the high calling and mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where we may be here today, but we're not staying here. Honey, I'm on my way. If you want to come, come on. If you want to stay put, that's up to you. But I am not going to stay where you've been. This train's about to pull out. We're moving on with God. I am not going to be happy with the way things were. That's a dwarf mentality. That's a midget management. That's a tiny little thought in your brain that you can never have anything more than what you have right now. I'm not going to be happy with the way they are. You ever have anybody say that to you? Well, just be happy you're not in the hospital. Look, I'm thankful I ain't in the hospital, but man, I want to walk without this limp. I'm not going to be happy because I'm not going to be happy until I can walk and run and praise God and leap. I'm not going to be happy until I get all my joy back. I'm not going to be happy until all my children are saved, my grandchildren are saved. I'm not going to be happy until Valley View has to call out the local police department on a Sunday morning to guide the traffic into this region. I'm not going to be happy until buses come from all over the place. I'm not going to be happy until Cleveland Hopkins Airport has to put in extra flights for people that are coming in all over the world to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, you're not happy with the way things are. God's got something greater for you. Woo. You know, bashful. You can't be bashful and come in the presence of God. I'm going to tell you something. The righteous are as bold as a lion. And the wicked flee with no one pursuing them. You get that anointing on your life and suddenly you'll be running through a troop and leaping over a wall. Suddenly you'll be saying things you didn't even know you knew. You'll be doing things that only God can do through you. And you'll sit back and go, my God, what happened? Did I just say that? Don't be content to be timid and weak and fearful. God wants to make you strong, powerful, and confident. You have so much to contribute. You lift up your eyes. You look at me in the eye when you talk to me. Don't you look down at your feet. You give me a firm handshake. You let me know who you are in Christ. Tell me how blessed I am to know you. Right? The devil's a liar. Well, I'm glad to come to your church. Thank you. Stop it. Don't make me slap you. I'm talking about the seven dwarfs. The last one. You remember who he is? Grumpy. Lord Jesus, you know we've had Grumpy in the church. God said Grumpy can't get into the glory. Bashful can't get into the glory. Doc knows everything, can't get into the glory. Come on. You and I have got to learn to let the grumpy go. We used to sit around our kitchen table, and when our kids started complaining, we had a pair of glasses. They were called the grumpy glasses, right? And we made them put them on because they were always whining about something. I don't like these potatoes. All right, get the glasses out. They were funny looking glasses like mine I got on right now. And they would say, you're wearing the grumpy glasses. You're wearing the grumpy glasses. And it's funny because they were mad. You know, so you got to put the grumpy glasses on. They couldn't put the grumpy glasses on without the rest of us laughing. And before you know it, they were laughing too. And the grumpy had left. Ushers, pass out those glasses right now. We want the grumpy to go. Come on. We don't want the grumpy in the house of God. You know, that's just fleshy. That's natural. Look, nobody's perfect here. Don't come here expecting everything to be just right. Sometimes it's going to be too cold. It's going to be too hot. Sometimes you're going to stand too long. I can't believe they're making me stand all this time. Got to work. Put them on. He he's still preaching? Good night. I went to the restroom, got a drink, went out to my car, smoked a cigarette, came back. He's still preaching. Don't look over at the person next to you, but I'll bet you Grumpy is probably down your row right now. We're coming after you, Grumpy. We're coming after you. Oh, Jesus, don't ask me why I get like this. I think she put something in my eggs in the morning, and it makes me just stupid funny. Seriously, though, there's another thing that the Bible mentions. It's called running sores. It's kind of nasty when you think about it. But people with running sores were not permitted to be in the presence of the Lord. And boy, does that speak spiritually to us, doesn't it? It's those long-standing scabs that won't heal. Those wounds, the pains of our past. See, you can't come into the presence of God carrying all of your pains of the past. We got to go to the cross and lay it on His pain and allow Him to bring healing to us. Do you remember the story of Malchus in the Bible? How many remember the story of Malchus in the Bible? A couple of you. Malchus was a servant of the priest, the most high priest. And they came to arrest Jesus. And Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Everybody okay? It's 1:15. I'm going to try and hurry. You all right? Okay. Come on, Grumpy. Stay with me now. And Peter, when he went to arrest him, pulls out his dagger and goes to stab him and cuts off his ear. Now, you can imagine when that servant, Malchus, went to work that night. He went to 3:11 shift. He kissed his wife goodbye, took his lunchbox, and off to work he went. You know I got to say it. Hi-ho, hi-ho. Yeah. Off to work he went. And he went, he said, we're going to the Garden of Gethsemane. We're going to be arresting Jesus. Because I don't know who Jesus is. It doesn't matter. Just go. You're going to be on the detail. Get out there. Help them arrest Jesus. So he's an innocent bystander. He didn't plan the arrest. He wasn't involved in the stratagem. He didn't give the money to Judas. He didn't talk about how they were going to, you know, kill him. He just went to work. So there he is in the garden trying to arrest the man they said seize him. Peter pulls out his knife, cuts off his ear. Now you have to understand that ear now is in the sand of the Garden of Gethsemane. Blood profusely coming out of the side of his head. He's now in shock. People are now all upset, ready to pull their daggers and start fighting. And Jesus said, put away your sword. But it's an interesting thing what he did. He took the ear out of the sand, picked it up, and touched the side, may I, of Malchus's head and healed him. Now, what's interesting about that, the night Malchus got home, brings his lunchbox in, he's all excited. He goes, I know it, I know it, I know it, I know it. He walks in, his wife looks at him, ah, what happened? She says, no, it's all right, don't worry about it. Well, blood's all the way down his matted hair. He's got blood down his sleeve. She goes, what happened? What's going on? He goes, look, I'm okay, look. But you will not believe what happened. That crazy Peter, I knew he was crazy when the moment I saw him. I just said, I'm going to go to church and try it out. I went to that church and sure enough, crazy Peter was sitting in my row. Hacked off my ear. I'm bleeding all over the place. And then Jesus shows up in the row. And he heals me. Let me tell you, sweetheart, I learned something tonight. Listen now. Those that hurt you can never heal you. Peter could have picked up that ear. He could have just said all kinds of prayers, but it wouldn't have worked. Malchus goes, you hurt me! You hurt me! I hate you! And lived the rest of his life with that severed ear in his pocket. Walking around every church he goes to, let me tell you what they did to me at that church. You see that ear? They did that. That preacher over there, he did that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's some people in church that's all they want to do is tell you how everybody else hurt them. Now, I'm not denying it doesn't hurt, but listen, after a while, it starts to stink. It's decomposing. Say decomposing. It's starting to stink. It would be better that instead of trying to track down the person that caused you the pain, go to the God that created the ear in the first place. And say, God, I don't know. I was just an innocent bystander. I need your grace to touch me right now. If you're here today with a running sore or with a decomposing flesh piece in your pocket and you want everybody to know what somebody did to you, listen, go to Christ. Present it to Jesus and let him touch you today and bring healing to your life. Because those that have an open sore, those that have decomposing pain in their pocket, can never access the glory of God. Lastly, he was a eunuch. And I don't think I'd want to be a eunuch in the times of the Bible. I mean, that was quite a responsibility. But a eunuch, from what I understand, was a man that you didn't have to worry about. He could be around all the harem. He could be around all of the wives of the king. No issues. Because he lost his productive rights. Sometimes we come into the house of God and we've allowed the devil to steal away our productivity. Those kind of individuals can never really get into the glory and the presence of God because we're convinced that we could never add to anything. People have told you so long that you don't have worth, you don't have value, you can't make contribution. Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to make an announcement right here. I believe there's not one person that crosses the threshold of this building that can't make a positive contribution to this place and to this generation. I'm talking to some of the greatest people in this Northeastern Ohio region. You know how privileged I am to go to church with you? And I'm not just trying to flatter you. I mean that from my heart. God's choicest servants are in this room. And don't you allow the enemy to tell you that you have no future and you have no hope, because he wants to make us non-productive. He wants us to believe that we have no potential. You and I have to start possessing something, contagious faith. I want people, when they get around me, to get it. It's like having measles and me rubbing my arm all over you, sneezing in your face and let you get my cold. I want you to get it. I want us to have contagious faith. So that when people walk in this room, it's not attending church in the traditional sense of the term. It's an encounter with real God, with real people, and a real restoration of a message that brings hope to a generation. Let me tell you, even church people have lost hope. But I'm here to tell you today, I've got great hope. I believe that God is about to do something that eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Here's a Romans 16 and 20. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Sometimes the devil wants to tell you he's going to take you to lunch. You need to talk back and say, no, I'm going to have you for lunch. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But be of good cheer. I prayed for you. In this world, you're going to have tribulation, right? But be of good cheer. Why? He's overcome the world. I don't know what you're faced today, but there is nothing too difficult for our God. The Bible asks the question, is God's arm so short that he can't save? Huh? Is God's ear so deaf that he can't hear your cry? If you'll call out to the Lord today, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You may have come in here bent over with the burdens and the weights of your life and the cares of your day. But let me tell you, he's calling your name. If you'll respond, you'll straighten up. He'll carry the burden out to your car for you and put it in the trunk. He'll become the burden bearer that you've been looking for, and you'll be free. And you'll begin walking and living in life thinking, my goodness, I could have lived like this all of my days. Then you'll be so contagious, you'll begin telling everybody, why are you living like that? Bent over with the cares of life. Why are you living that way? Convinced that you've got a tiny mentality, that you've got this midget management understanding. God has so many bigger things for you in your life. Why don't you just begin to lift up your heads? Why don't you begin to lift up your eyes and see the promises of God? Did you know that every promise is yes and amen to those who believe? Shout with me, I'm a believer. You're not a doubter. You wouldn't be here if you were a doubter. You're a believer. So understand that the promises are yes and amen to those who believe. The Bible tells us that you and I have a great future and we have a great hope. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to close with this scripture. And I'm going to pray that this bondage be broken over every person's life. He says, you did not receive a spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. God in heaven is your Father. God in heaven delights in you. God in heaven has open arms waiting to receive you. There's nothing that you've ever done so offensive that God can't forgive you. There's nothing that you've ever said that God will not forgive you for. Listen to me. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us of all of our sins. Why sit there and live a limited life? Why go through life being grumpy and making everybody else unhappy? Why not turn a new leaf? Why not say, you know what? If this is true, if this be true, I want Christ as my Savior. I'm going to receive Him as my Lord. We want you to come to heaven with us. We don't want one person left behind. Church, let's all go. And I like to say to families of this house, I'll see you Sunday. And if I don't, I'll see you on the north side. And I'll hold up a big sign. Church on the north coast, whoop, whoop. And we'll be up there praising God. I want you to go, your wife to go, your children to go, all your co-workers to go. Let's take the entire city with us to glory. Amen? Because it's not God's will that any man should perish. Come on, say the rest. But all should have everlasting life. Bow your heads with me. Father, right now I pray the Holy Spirit to minister in this room. Touch, draw, speak. Let people know today how much you love them and that you want them to spend eternity with them in heaven. If you're here today and you say, hey, preacher, I'm not right with God. I need forgiveness of my sins. Would you pray for me? That's a simple request. You don't even have to do anything but just acknowledge your need. And I'm going to ask you to do something in a minute, but you're not acknowledging it to me because I'm just a man like you. But you're acknowledging it to God. You say, Pastor, I need that prayer. Just lift your hand up high enough that I might see it. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you over there. Thank you back there. Anybody else? Do it high enough so I can see it. You can put it down now. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Say, yeah, you know what? I need that prayer. I just need to make a change in my life. Well, let me tell you something. Change won't happen without Christ. But with God, all things are possible. God's for you. God loves you. And I'm telling you, we're going to help you in your spiritual journey. We're going to mentor you. We're going to disciple you. We're going to push you in the right direction. And if you fall, we'll give you a hand and ask you to get back up again. Because there's not one of us in here that haven't fallen or made a mistake. Yeah, even after we came to Christ. Do you hear what I'm saying? You say, preacher, I think if that's true, I want that prayer. If you already raised your hand, don't do it again. Don't do it again. But if you didn't the first time, I want to ask one last time. With acknowledged hand, you'll say, I want that prayer. Lift it up right now. Let me see if you're here. Anybody else? Thank you. God bless you. You can put it down. Everybody stand up with me, would you? Hallelujah. Hey, Christians, can I ask you to do me a favor? Would you just silently pray right there where you are? Pray for those that raise their hand that they would truly receive Jesus as their Savior and as their Lord. Just pray right now. Let's take about 10 seconds and pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love them, God. We know that you have a plan for them. We know, Lord, that their life will never be the same. Thank you, Father. For greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Give them great hope today, God. Draw them by your Spirit, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Altar ministers, if you could join me around the front with the biggest smile and welcoming posture that you can and stand across the front. Those of you that raise your hand, we're going to sing this song. And I want to ask you to do something. I want you to step out from where you're standing and join us across the front for prayer. That's all we want to do. You don't have to join this church. We're not looking for new members. Heaven's looking for new members. Listen, if you already have a church, that's great. But we just want you to get the prayer that you need to start the journey that you've been waiting to start. So if you're ready to do that, we're going to sing. Those of you that raise your hand, sir, ma'am, all of you, would you come right now? Some have already started to come. But we believe that God has a great message for you. Let's do it. Go ahead and sing it. As we sing, come on. To the left and ask that person, do you need prayer? I'll go with you. And take him by the hand and bring him to the front. Go ahead, ask him. Just go ahead and ask him. Put a smile on your face and ask him. And then bring him to the front. Come on, you make.
You make all things new, and you make all things new, and I will
words. I'm not going back.
Hey. Not moving back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving forward. Yeah, yeah.
Come on, let's try it again. The first verse, come on. You can get it up, that'll be nice. Not going back.
What a moment.
Moving ahead.
You have brought me to such a freedom. I have found in you, you're the healer. Makes all things new, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not going back, I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you, my past is over in you. All things are made new, surrender my life to Christ. I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you, my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving forward.
Just real quickly, would you reach a hand out to these? Just reach your hand out to these. Father, right now, We're asking that you will minister your love, forgiveness, and, oh God, your grace to each one of these lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, church, let me tell you something. I used to say, live right, love everybody, and pray hard. But I got some new adjectives. Live laughing. Love lavishly. And pray the promises. We'll see you next week. God bless you. We love you.